Let's read in the book of Ruth, the first chapter here tonight. Ruth chapter 1. Now, these are days of, for a lot of people, I guess we could say that there are a lot of people that are in crisis. And I've talked to lots of people who are up against crisis situations. And the book of Ruth is the story, really, of what happened whenever a nation got into a crisis. And the way that this particular family responded to it. And let's look at this for a few minutes here tonight from the book of Ruth, chapter 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. She was left, and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Now you can read on in this chapter to get the full story and how the events played out in their life. But it really started with a famine. It started with a crisis in Judah, Bethlehem, Judah. And the crisis brought this family to a place of decision. They had to decide what to do about the crisis. And sad to say, they made a bad decision. They made the wrong decision, because there were many warnings about the Moabites, how that they were not to mingle with them, how they weren't not to intermarry with the Moabites. They were to have no association with them because they were pagan and they were idolaters. The very word Moab means fornication. And so you can see that the whole the problem was that they were faced with the crisis and they didn't respond right. Instead of staying in the land of Bethlehem, Judah, the land and the house of bread, even though it was in a time of famine, this was a place where God was going to provide. And there was going to come an end to that crisis. And if they would just have remained true and faithful and stayed in that place of provision, God would have come through for them. But they lost a lot when they went down to Moab. Not only was the husband and father, not only did he die, but the two sons died. A lot was lost in Moab. And for people, there's such a spiritual lesson here, that whenever crisis comes, that you listen to the voice of the Lord and you stay true to the word of God. And don't divert away. Don't make decisions without prayerfully calling upon the Lord and trusting the Lord, and stay with what you know to be true. Stay. Now, this was the time of the judges, and so we know that several hundred year period of time, the judges, the Bible says that it's really a key phrase in the book of Judges. They did that which was right in their own eyes. Instead of having any real spiritual direction or following the will of God and the law of God, they determined what they believed was right instead of looking to God and looking to the word of God. And when they did, then the nation was thrown into famine. You can see that repeated again and again and again all throughout Israel's history, that the famine came as a result of their disobedience, their rebellion against God. Then things would get in this crisis situation. And what God wanted them to do is to repent of what they had done. He wanted them to repent. He wanted them to call out upon God, and then God would forgive them, and the Lord would restore rain and fruitfulness back to their land. But instead of that, they made a bad decision. They went to Moab. And a lot was lost in Moab. And I think that the one of the spiritual lessons that we can see from this story is just the fact that the house of God, the house of bread, the place of God's will is the place where you need to be. Right in the center of the will of God. Doing God's will. Walking in obedience to God. That's the place of blessing. Now, that doesn't mean that you won't have a crisis. It doesn't mean that you won't have times of trouble and go through, challenging situations. But just remain true to God. And when you find yourself in a crisis time, cry out to God. Call upon the Lord. It's kind of a natural fleshly reaction to trouble to turn and run, to try to find out a natural answer to the problem instead of calling upon the Lord. Many times we're in a crisis in our life, and it's an opportunity for us to call upon the Lord, to get closer to God, to learn even in the trouble, in the crisis, to learn of Him, even in the fellowship of His sufferings. As you go down that pathway, don't turn away from God. Don't turn away from the things of God and the will of God. Remain true to the Lord and to the things of the Lord. Amos chapter 8 and verse 11 describes another situation of famine. It says, "Behold, the days will come, and I will send a famine in the land, not famine of bread nor of thirst for water, but of hearing of the word of the Lord." Now, I think that we are experiencing that throughout our country, throughout our nation today. There is a spiritual famine. And as a body, as a people, as a church, our church needs to be a place where there is spiritual provision, where people can come and they can get help. And that they can be fed and they can be strengthened and they can be encouraged. Now that's what happened in this story. The Bible says that they went down to Moab, and everything that happened down there was disaster. Everything that happened, and they stayed 10 years down there, and they lost some things that they never were able to recover. Now, if you follow the way of the flesh and you follow the way of the world, you may lose things that you can never, ever recover again. So it's a serious thing to make decisions to go another way. And there is a season of time, and I do believe that we're in a time right now where it's really important for us to remain, to keep our focus on Jesus. Amen. Keep your eyes upon the Lord. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. Don't question what's going on. Don't question your trouble. Don't question the burden that you have and the things that you don't understand. Don't keep your eye upon the Lord. Keep your eye upon Him, because you have a purpose, you have a calling, a ministry, and collectively as the body of Christ, we've got a work that God wants us to perform. And as a church, we need to be a house of bread. We need to be a place where people can hear from God, where they can sense the help of the Lord, and they can get help around our altars, and they can receive instruction in the word of the Lord, and they can be encouraged to follow the Lord. And there are a lot of people, I believe a lot of people, that have been down in Moab. They've been in the world. They've been in sin. They've taken that pathway. Some of them are backsliders, and they've suffered terrible things because of their decisions. And but they need to be able to hear a report. They need to hear like Naomi began to hear. It says she began to hear the report of something going on down there in Bethlehem, Judah. She heard that the famine was lifting. And she heard the report that God was blessing once again there. And when she heard that report, that's when she said, "I'm going back. I'm going home." Amen. I want to see people get back to God, and I want to see backsliders restored, and so many people that need God. I want to see the church filled up with seekers, hungry for God, hungry for the things of God. And I believe that if we will, as a body, if we'll just accept the responsibility, we need to be a house of bread. This needs to be a place where there is a move of God. And that every time that they come, they can experience the touch of God, the help of the Lord. They can be fed the bread of life, to be strengthened and to be helped. Whenever we're that kind of a place, the world will start hearing the report. When you're in trouble, you can go down there to First Pentecostal Church. Those folks know how to get a prayer through. You can go down there to that church, and those folks, They're seeking after God. They're praying and they're calling on the Lord. And you can get help in the presence of the Lord. And you can hear the word of God. And you can be uplifted and be strengthened. And you can be fed in the house of God, in the house of bread. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Oh, we are in a spiritual famine in this generation. And it said that in the day of Amos, there was the famine of the hearing of the word of the Lord. It was even more serious than the loss of food or water. It was a spiritual famine. And that is the real crisis where we are right now. And it's true in our community. Oh, how we need God to work right here in London, Laurel County. We need a sweeping move of God. But this place is going to have to be known for a place where people can hear from God. God is moving among those people. God is moving in that church. And we don't deserve that, but we need to covet that. We need to pray for that. We need to be drawing nearer to the Lord and calling upon the Lord so that we will sense the manifest presence of God every time we come together. And when we do, that there will be those coming in from Moab, walking in saying, I'm beaten up and I'm in sorrow and I'm in trouble and I've gone through all these things down there in that place, and I've suffered because I've made bad decisions and have gone after the world and after the things of the flesh, and I need help. And they need to be able to get help here. Amen. Amen. As we're Christ focused, as we're filled with the Spirit of God, as there is a word from the Lord, when they come into this place, that they can hear from God and experience the touch of God in their life. Naomi heard the report. Oh, what a terrible loss. Her husband and her sons buried down there in that pagan land. Such a terrible loss. But it didn't stop her when she heard the report. It didn't stop her whenever she began to hear that God was starting to lift the famine. And once again, he was blessing Bethlehem to live up to its name, to really be a house of bread. She said, I'm going home. And the daughter-in-laws, they decided to go with her. You know the story. The two daughter-in-laws who wanted to go with her. Amen. But she discouraged them. Go back to your own homeland. The Lord grant you find rest, each of you, in the house of your own husband. Go back home. Go home. But no, there was this determination. It says that she kissed them and lifted up their voice and wept. They both wept. One wept, their names really kind of give a real indication as to what was in their heart. Naomi's name meant grace. Amen. And Orpah's name meant stiff-necked. And Ruth's name meant companion. It gave a very clear indication of what was going on in their life and what was in their heart and who they were. And we know that Orpah, she wept along with them. And so we know that to return back to God, it's not just an emotional decision. It has to be beyond the emotion. A lot of people get emotional about God and about the things of the Lord, and that's fine. It's wonderful to be affected even to in your emotions. But Orpah, she cried along with the rest of them, but then she turned and she went back. She went back. It was in her heart. Her love for that place, her love for the world. She just couldn't make a break up with it. But Ruth, she was the companion who was going to follow Naomi. She was going to follow where grace was going to lead her to get back to the house of bread. And Ruth followed her. And not only, it was not just an emotional thing. This was an act of her will, a determination of her will. She says, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go. And whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people and thy God, my God." This was not just an emotional thing. She had set her will toward the things of God. Amen. Praise God. And as a result, you know the story, and we could go through the how it all played out. But when Naomi and Ruth got down there in the house of bread, immediately they witnessed the hand of God. They witnessed the provision of the Lord. And they could have never, ever had imagined that God was going to show his mercy and grace that was going to be extended to such a degree that this woman who was born in Moab was going to be so welcomed and so changed that her life was going to be changed, her provision was going to be taken care of, and she was going to become a part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. Unbelievable. The miracle of what happens whenever people are drawn back to the house of bread. Amen. So, what a responsibility that we have right here at First Pentecostal Church to be a people who know how to pray, know how to seek the Lord, know how to get a hold of God. You all know how Brother Huff feels about First Pentecostal Church. And if he was here, he'd say, "There's no people on earth that I'd rather be with or whether be praying for me than my folks at First Pentecostal Church." Amen. Well, we got to live up to that, don't we? We got to live up to that kind of a confidence and that kind of a faith to know that this place needs to be a house of bread where people can receive help. Amen. I don't know about you, but I have such a desire, such a longing in my heart to see these altars filled with people getting back to the house of bread, getting back to the Lord, getting back to the things of God. And they're out there by the dozens, by the scores. They're out there within our community and within our reach, and they need the Lord. They've been so beaten up and so affected by the world and by the flesh. What they need is a place where there's spiritual provision. Amen. Where the hand of the Lord is there. And God is working and moving among us to such a degree that it's obvious. God is working. God's answering prayer. He's saving the lost. He's healing the sick. He's ministering to people in their needs. Families are restored. Marriages are being restored. Lives are being changed in the house of bread. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Oh, that the Lord would just fill this place up with seekers. But before he does, we need to make sure that there's not a famine here, but there is spiritual fruit. There's a work of God, a move of God, that there's life and there's a real touch of God and a real walk with the Lord, so that when they come, they'll receive the help that they are in need of. Amen. There's no middle ground. You can't have Moab and Bethlehem at the same time. You're going to have to make a decision. I want the things of God, and I want them more than anything that the world has to offer. I want the touch of God in my life. There is a famine in the land, and I'm not saying that there are not good churches. I know that there are. We're not the only ones. I understand that. But we have a responsibility before God. Amen. Let's get a hold of God. Let's pray this through. Let's be a place where God is working and moving, and we're in revival, and people are being touched, and lives are being changed and being brought out of the world and brought out of Moab and brought into a place where they can be spiritually fed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you have called us and you have provided everything that we have need of. But Lord, help us to set our will towards seeking you. Help us, Lord, to make Jesus the focus of our life. Oh, Lord, that we would be focused upon him, the things of the Lord, more than anything. Lord, that this place would be a place of spiritual plenty, spiritual provision, where blessings are provided and poured out. Hallelujah. Lord, where you are working and you are moving, and every life that walks in the doors of this sanctuary, Lord, that you would just rain upon them and bless them and change their lives for the glory of God. Oh, Lord. Lord, we just ask for the anointing, your Holy Spirit power to rest upon us, Lord, so lives will be changed for the glory of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. There is not a spiritual famine because God has stopped talking. Amen. He's still speaking in these last days. There is not a spiritual famine because God has run out of power. He has not run out of power. Amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still has mighty power, and he delights in showing himself strong in behalf of his people. Amen. So he is not weak. He is not in any way incapable of working in your need, in my need, making our church a place where people can hear from God and can receive from the Lord. I hope that's your desire. I hope that's your prayer, that you're praying about this on a daily basis. Lord, send your power, your grace to just rest upon us, every one of us, so that we can be that house of bread. Amen. Where those who are spiritually empty can get help. They can hear the word of the Lord. They can get answers for the trouble of their life. And they can come to the Lord and find help. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.